Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to come here together this morning and look into your word, Lord. Know that your divine truth, Lord, gives us direction and, Lord, helps us to see what you are doing in the world, how you're working through us. And so we just thank you for that. And Lord, I do pray for all those traveling and just in every situation, you protect them, bring them back safely. And Lord, I just pray your special hand over each one of them. I pray you anoint me this morning. I just speak forth by the Spirit, and each heart be able to receive by the Spirit, Lord, and to see the depths of what you have to say, that you truly do have things in control, that you truly do are working in a mighty way. And so we rest upon that and thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to open up this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll spend this morning in 1 Corinthians 12. So if you want to turn there so you can kind of follow along there. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. The title of the message is God Arranged. God Arranged. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. Now, as we look at this, we need to think about what the Lord's telling us. But you can think about a business. You can think about a government. You can think about an army. You know, the whole idea is that a multitude of gifted and dedicated people with a whole variety of duties and responsibilities are organized to work well together. Okay? That's God's view of his church. And of course, if you're running anything else, that's your desire also, that you would like to see it coming together like that. At least that's our desire, right? Well, that's also God's desire. That's his desire. That's what he's moving and through his body, the church. So this is also, we can say, this is God's desire for the church. This is his desire for the church. That the church, if you want to put it this way, again, just getting something so we can put our arms around it, the church is God's business, God's government, God's army in this world, and God arranged the members in his body, the church, each one of them, as he chose. Amen? See, you know, you think about, I won't get up and just and attend the service, the church. I don't know. I don't want to go. I'm too tired. What good is it for me to go? I have nothing to do. Nobody will miss me. Okay. Well, that is totally inconsistent with what God just says. It's totally inconsistent with how he sees the world and how he sees his church as a very integral part of his purpose. So each one of us, and so I think at the point of this, we should think of ourselves that way. So not only so he's arranged the church, but then also goes on to say here in 1 Corinthians 12, not only has God arranged his body, the church, but he also has gifted the church. Now, how many people say, I'm in God's body, I have no purpose, no gifts. Now, you know, and just like, and, you know, I'm making a good excuse to stay home, just stay in bed. Nobody will miss me. It's not that important. And have nothing to offer. Well, God has something totally different to say about it. His church is God's organized move within the world. And that he has given people in the body gifts. He's given everyone gifts. And looking out, so I want to just look at that. So we have this picture. The church is important. This is God's body. But now look what it says about what he's given to each member within the church. We'll look first at 1 Corinthians 12:4. Now there are varieties of gifts. Varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. It's like, okay, all these different things are going on, but it's the same Spirit that's moving. They're not independent. They're not separated from God. They're not separated from the Spirit. It's no, he's put in a great, and the great variety within his church to accomplish a great deal of things. It comes from the one Spirit. So what we see here, these gifts that God gives the church, they're a concrete manifestation of the Spirit and not natural birthright propensities. Okay? There's not some, okay, that's, he was born that way, that's his gifting, that's raised up. I saw that in him or her when they were 3 years old. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the Holy Spirit giving people gifts independent of that person. He puts a gift in that person, and that person can use that gift, is supposed to use that gift by the Spirit of God. Now remember, he just said the body. It's the body of Christ. It's his body. So then he has this, you're his body. Then he gives person in his body a gift from him for that person to operate in his body. He's orchestrated. Orchestrated the church, and he orchestrated these gifts. Now, and although there are a whole variety of gifts, it's one Spirit. How can this person and this person, totally different, function and say it's from the same Spirit? They're two different, but it is. God separates that and gives each one a gift, and it's like amazing the differences in people, yet they are gifted by the one Spirit, energized by the Holy Spirit. Okay, here's another. Next one, verse 5, 1 Corinthians 12:5 says this, and again, we're talking about the church body. There are varieties of service. Okay, you just think service, the different things that need to be done, but the same Lord here. Now, in addition to spiritual gifts, the indwelling Christ calls us to service. He calls us to service, and he enables his people to render service. Amen? So here it is, a variety of service. He calls people to service in the body, then enables them to do that service. Now what it does, it's very interesting, the everyday acts of service are now set on a par with the recognized supernatural phenomena of the Spirit. So he's got, I've given you Holy Spirit thing, but now there's a service by the Lord, Christ indwelling in us, that he's moving for people to carry out services within the church. It's distinguished from a gift. You know, I don't know they're mutually exclusive, but it's different. But those are, it's a different activity. And so what we have here is humble everyday service is on a par with recognized supernatural phenomena of the Spirit. Amen? That's how God looks at it. No, it's from the Lord. Gift from the Holy Spirit, which chapter 12 talks all about, but then there's service from the Lord and to the Lord that he empowers, that he recognizes on a par. It's the same. He doesn't raise one up above the other. Now, so humble and everyday service is not to be despised. Okay, because it's a movement and work of God within his body. So that's what he's telling us here. Again, the whole thing is a picture, how God's working. He's called in the world his church and how he's working through his church. Now look at the next verse, 1 Corinthians 12:6. There are varieties of activities. Okay, there's stuff going on. There's a lot of activities. Now, it doesn't have to be mutually exclusive from service or mutually exclusive from gifts, but he said there's activities, like a call to do an activity, a something, for whatever reason, for the church in the body. He says there are varieties of activities, but the same God. But the same God who empowers them all in everyone. So you got these group of people, activity to do something for the Lord that they feel moved, and they do this activity. Well, this activity is from God, and God is using these people for this specific activity. See, this is God's power in action. And, you know, if we think of something here, you know, it's like an activity. just try to think of something, you know, if we had put on something like VBS or something, okay, we just want to try to do that. Okay, and God calls. Well, that activity is an evidence of God's power in action for that, and he'll bring some people together to do that activity. The divine activities are many, but it's the same God. The same God. We had one time, you know, like a little fair out there. Everybody got together and had a lot of fun. And it's like, it's an activity. Well, it's the same God. That's the same God. It shows God in action by that activity that the body of Christ participates in. So, the emphasis in this passage is on what God does in believers for any activity they are called to. Now, so what he's doing here, and I'm sure, you know, anytime you look at something like this, God has given us a view so we have an understanding of principle. He may not cover every specific thing we're thinking of, but when we look at the principle, we see how we can apply this to what God is moving us to do. So the whole thing, God has arranged, that's how we start. God has arranged where these things will happen. And he's giving gifts, you know, service, and activities from the Spirit of God. And he uses a different name, from the Holy Spirit, from the Lord, and from the God. Well, it's just, he just kind of called out the Trinity, okay? But as a result, he made them, well, they're of equal importance. This is God working, expressing himself through the church. Then he says this. He wraps this up in 1 Corinthians 12:7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, this is really how he ties everything together, that each one of these that he just mentions is a manifestation of the Spirit, okay? But they're different things, but it's a manifestation of the Spirit that's God using in his church that impacts this world. So again, varieties. Now, how big are the varieties? In my mind, when you look at God, what do you think of God? It's who he is and his capacity. Infinite. Okay, how many activities? It's infinite. How much service? It's infinite. And even the Spirit, the things of the Spirit that he really details in Romans chapter 12, and he really details those things, specific things in Romans chapter 12, because they were misused. He said, you guys got to get your act together, you know? So that's one of the reasons he breaks those out. He gives specifically what you should do. You know, they were doing their service deal, man, they're going at it, taking care of the church, sweeping the carpet, taking everything clean. Yeah, it's hard to misuse that, right? Or it's like there's some activities, everybody's coming together to present, you know, an activity for whatever reason. It's hard for everybody to come together and misuse that. But spiritual gifts, people are just going off in all different directions, and they're misusing it. It's not working the way God desired it to work. As we know, 1 Corinthians is a book of correction, so he's correcting those things. And so he goes in great details about gifts of the Spirit. He's correcting it. So you can read those things about the gift of the Spirit, which we won't go into this morning or anything. He is correcting what's there. It's like, oh, he gave this things on the gifts of the Spirit so they would receive that and focus on that. No, they had it and they were going at it. Okay? They had it. He wasn't telling them to get. They had all those things present and they were using those things, and some of them were being misused. So he addresses it. Amen? So sometimes we look at that. Okay, we're reading this things on the gifts of the Spirit. This is what God wants us to have, and he's going to call out from that, which that's not necessarily bad, but that's not what this section is about. They had all those gifts. See, he said, but you got to, he's going, you kind of need to get your act together. Okay, it's just not helping out the cause, if you will. So we see that it's all for the common good. And that's, again, for the spiritual gifts, you know, making a difference from the activities and service. The spiritual gifts are supposed to be for the common good. For the common good. That's why you exercise those gifts. Now, so this simple sentence states the truth that God most wants church to realize. To each one is an important statement. To each one. That's what he says, to each one. Not a couple, not a few, to each one. You're in the church, something to do, that the Lord's putting on you, you know, empowering you. There's something going on. To each one is important. Everyone has some gift from God. Spiritual gifts are always given to be used and edify the whole body of believers. The divine giving of spiritual gifts is a concrete outworking of God's purpose. Okay? So all these things, he just, the service, activities, and spiritual gifts, which he all puts in one big ball, so the gifts of the Spirit, because they all coming from one God, one Christ, one Spirit. It's unity, it's Trinity. He just went through the Trinity and applied that to each one. So, but this outworking that he states here, this is concrete evidence of God's purpose. You can't say, I don't have a gift. I mean, you can say it, but it's not the truth. God said, no. Are you in his body? You have a gift. Now, you may have to learn how to develop it. You learn how to practice it, and everybody grows in everything. We might have to learn how to get along with people. We might, you know, but there's a growth in that, and God says this is what he's doing through his body. It's his organized structure, and he himself created it, and he himself gifted it, and he himself is to direct it. And so you have to recognize the truth. We know here the truth. I receive Christ as my Savior. I'm in the body. If I accepted Christ as my Savior, I am in the body. It's not if, I am in the body, and I do have gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit to carry out what God wants me to. Amen? And it's varieties. That means you look at the other person, you got to be kidding me, God. What are they doing here? Because it doesn't seem in step with... But you look, what is God? He's gifted his people, okay? So, and this is what we have in 1 Corinthians 12:11. All these are empowered. Now, all the things we just said, all the gifting, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. I mean, he just calls them up, looks at you, and this one, and this one, they all have gifts from me, God is saying, from God. Each one has gifts from me, each one. Now, you have the God, you're my body, now come together, and now go carry my message, impact the world. That's what God intended. That's what he intended. And so, the whole thing, that's the reason the Bible talks a lot about life. Get along, have fellowship one with another, you know, love one another, you know. I mean, he's like saying, you know, don't hate God's child whom he died for. You see what I'm saying? It's like, don't do that. He died for that person. They've accepted Christ, and maybe they walk with him. But the body, it grows together. In other places, it actually says that in the book of Ephesians, this comes to mind. He says, as the body grows together. See, well, how's that happen? Is the people come together, understand how to cooperate with one another, hear the Lord, and work together to carry out God's purpose. It's growing together. So that's God's purpose. That's a fascinating statement that the Lord's making here. Now, if you're like me, you're thinking like, God, I don't think this is working out real good. I mean, it's like, geez. But in God's mind, he's moving, and he is constantly moving to empower his body to carry out his purpose. So he's working, so it's a constant importance for us to always go before him and just get in step with him and allow him to take care of the big picture. Right? And so that's what he's telling us. Now, the next verse here, see, God, what he's telling us here, God gives to each one individually as he wills. How many of that? I don't like this, Lord. You know, I don't want this. Here's your gift. Don't want it. You know, but Well, I guess you can do that. Jeremiah did that. I've shared that before. Jeremiah called him out and said, Jeremiah, you're a prophet. And he goes, I don't want to be. He literally said, I don't want to be your prophet. And he goes, listen, be my prophet. You know. And so, so we have here that God gives as he sees fit. He looks at us. We think, this is what I want. But what has he said he's given to you? He's given to you. And I can't help it. Just make it funny. Bring it back. It's like, I pray, God, I want the gift of music to be able to sing, you know? And Adam just says, well, it ain't happening. You know, it's just not happening. But it just, it's not working, you know? But God, why didn't you do this? Well, no, I should say, but he did give me other gifts, and that's the one I should focus on, which would take a lot of pressure off Adam. You know, it would really be a healing to each one of you here. I mean, so it's like, but what God did, he gave that need to recognize it and move in that. Now, there's other gifts, and there's application of gifts and all sort of that. I'm not trying to limit anyone. I'm just, let's recognize what God is saying here. This is my church. My people, and I've given my people gifts, and you have everything you need to do what I desire for you to do. And that's what he's saying here. So what he does, God gives to each one individually as he wills. As he wills. God is concerned for our unity. However, there's no such thing as true unity without diversity. Okay? There's unity, but there's true diversity, because everybody has a different gift. He didn't make a bunch of clones that did exactly the same thing. What he did, he put unbelievable diversity within his body. Now there's unity under Christ, salvation for all, with a multitude of gifts, as we carry out what God has called us to. So we're unified in God, but we're diverse. There's a blessing in diversity. See, how many of you, you know, you have children? You come up and, you know, and you say you have three children and they're just alike. You know, just God gave you one, two, three, boom, just alike, you know, little cookie cutters, you know. And you know exactly what they are and they have the gifts and they do just what you say. Yeah, that it doesn't happen. See, and what is, you know, it's the fact, what do you have? And you go, they all have different gifts. They all have different strengths. And it's like, they're all under one roof, you know? And you're just like, and some, there's one of them, you're going, this is not my child. There's no one in my family like this. You know, there's been a mix-up, you know, like that. But it's like, no, that's how they're all different. But then you find, and what you got to find out, they're all good at something. And there's some things they're not good at, you know. And then you find out what's really shocking is they're not like you. And you say, well, this is what you want. And then this is how you learn this word. You go, because I said so. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, who gave you opinion anyway? Now, But the purpose is, you see they have different gifts, and you grow up, and you see them grow into those different gifts, and certainly you model some behavior and things, and so they don't beat each other up and all that. So you're trying to say, get along, you're different, but get along. And so you're raising them up with their gifts to get along. Well, you're raised not to function in the church, because that's what the church is. You know, he's telling the church, get along. You know, don't fight, get along. You know, you got different gifts, and those gifts clash. So I'm teaching you. So we have the scriptures. How to do it. Amen? We have the scriptures. And then we have our individually families to practice on. So I always thought about that. You should never go to a pastor that's single. I mean, I don't care how godly the guy is. I mean, you just shouldn't. I mean, I just think, there ain't no way, buddy. There ain't no way. They just, well, look, you can do this. I said, you don't know what you're talking about. You just don't. And then if they're married, you should have kids. You do. Because everything you're thinking you're going to try, you're going to find out those little darlings are not going to carry it out. like you thought they should. Why? You know. They said, well, we can't have children. Adopt some. I mean, you know, you need that pleasure of that so you can understand the reality of how God works. How God works. I shouldn't say this. I had this conference, and this guy, and he was really good, well-spoken, and so marriage, and he was single. I said, there ain't no way. You're going, I'm not, I wouldn't pay you a buck to see him. Nothing, no. God bless him. Because his views are going to change when he gets married. You know, he gets, oh, I got to tell you, this is funny. I think of these stories, and it's just, these guys, I did a marriage class one time. I told this a long time ago. And it's three couples. And the guys I knew, the girls I didn't know. But it's the guys knew of them. I didn't know them. And so it was a relationship class. Now, they each had been married a couple of years. So they're kind of into the game. It's kind of a premarital, but they'd been married a couple of years. And these guys were head of ministries in this college. And that's how they met in this college ministry. And I mean, one was running it, the others worked for them, so they worked in this college ministry, and then they got married, thus coming to my marriage class. So we're discussing it, and I couldn't believe what I heard. I couldn't believe that they actually said this. But one night they said, and the guy goes, said, you know, and they know each other, didn't we have such a better walk with the Lord before we were married? I thought, oh gosh, well, you don't say that. You don't say that in front of your wife. You don't say you had a better ministry before you met her. I mean, that's where you're starting with. And the guys go, yeah, we did, you know. And it's like, oh gosh. And the ladies, you know, they're taking in. They're sitting there with their arms crossed just like this. See, but what happened? What happened? College ministry is great while you're single, you know. But when you get married, the dynamic changes. Dynamic. Now, and what they were also saying, I was really growing into the Lord. I was growing with the Lord until I met you. And you have hindered my walk with God. Is that not what they were saying? Is that not what they were saying? But what had happened, what is God doing? He said, okay, you guys are doing good. You're moving along. But you just don't have it all together. You got a lot of learning to do. And I have little Miss Beautiful here for you to teach you everything you don't know. Amen? That's what happens. You know, that's what happens. The wife comes in, and vice versa. You know, you can have a lady ahead of a ministry, and she's got everything figured out. Okay? Now, and all you have to do is get married. That's it. And it just happens. They don't need a class or nothing. They're looking for a class after they get married. And then as a couple, they're figuring it out. You know, oh, hallelujah. As a couple, we're figuring out. We get along. We got this thing with Jesus, and our walk is good. And then they have a child. And then all of a sudden, things are not working right. Working right. And in their brilliance to try to figure something out, they have a second one. You know, I mean, it's just like, you got to be kidding me. You have to be kidding me. God, why did you do this to me? He's going, I didn't do nothing. You married her, you know. I mean, you picked her. Or you say her. You picked him. Don't blame me. I mean, you did that. You decided to have kids. Yeah. Now, you see where I'm getting at. But God's hand, he's arranging it, right? And he uses all those things to teach us. Amen? And it's all about him. It says he is infinite and perfect. We always have lots of things to learn. Amen? So here we are. This is what we got. God is the one teaching, and we're different, and he's teaching us and how to have unity. But he wants unity, but it's unity through diversity. You know, your husband is not supposed to be like you. Your wife's not supposed to be like you. And then God won't give you kids like you. You see what I'm saying? So it's diverse. He wants the unity, but there's diversity, and you have to work through that. And if you work through that, you grow closer to understanding what God's doing. Amen? See? The amens were kind of light on that. They're like, yeah, I don't think so. Anyway, so here, okay, look at the next verse. This is a powerful verse here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Again, what are we talking about? Gifts, getting along, service, activities. You know, we're talking about all the differences back then, the Jewish question, the Gentile question. You're talking about all sorts of stuff, you know, big mess. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. For in one spirit we are baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. Now pay close attention to this verse, okay? Jesus brings us together as one body, all right? Is one body. And the foundation to solve all social, racial, economic, and issues are found in this verse. It's right here. The whole answer is in this verse. The whole answer about how to get along in your marriage is in this verse. The whole answer of how, you know, to not kill any of your kids are in this verse. All right? It's right here. See, because what it says, it's like, God, what he's saying here, we're baptized in one body, okay, and all these different, and this, at the time, it's covering everybody at that time, slaves, free, Greeks, Jews, it's covering the population at that time, the way they understand it. And so y'all came into this one body. And then they were made to drink a one spirit. All of them drank the same spirit. All of them came to, and what happened, he brought back, he created unity. Unity by the one spirit. So the focus is on Jesus. On Jesus. See? You see what I'm saying? That's how he got them all together. Now, these terms express the basic distinctions that separated people at that time. Cultural, race, religion, social status. What happened, and listen to this, what happened with this verse? In Christ, these old distinctions have been all with Christ. See, they all went away with Christ. That's what this verse says. It's all gone away with Christ. But the thing of it is, it has to be Christ first. You take Christ out of the equation, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And that's what he's saying here. How he makes it work early on in this situation, Jew, Greek, slave, free, it's the focus on Christ. Everything else falls away. And the one focus of all those people becomes Christ. Amen? It's fixed. Now, you can go back to a marriage, and that literally same thing. All focus on Christ, and those things fall aside, you see. But you take off of Christ, and then it's hard to hold together. Raising your kids, you focus on Christ, and you can hold steady on that. You see what I'm saying? He's saying the same thing for everything. The source of any healing, growth, and whatever is to focus on Christ. And that's how things are worked through all this. This is how unity comes to the church. The church is supposed to focus on Christ. Now, you think it would, but a lot of times it doesn't, okay? But the church is to focus on Christ, and the unity comes of all these diversities come together because we're looking at what Christ wants, not what I want. What does Christ want? Amen? I mean, this is the truth. This is what it's saying here. Now, so as we look at it, so this solution is in Christ and our absolute total commitment to Christ. Absolute total commitment to Christ. Now, the only way to resolve race, social issues is my salvation through Christ, transformation through the Holy Spirit, by the revelation through the Bible. That's it. Now you take Christ out, Holy Spirit out, and the Bible out, you can't resolve these issues. You can't resolve these issues. See, and I'll even say this, if a supposedly Bible-teaching preacher gets up and says, you know, Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Bible are not sufficient to solve these issues, he's deceived. He's deceived. And Satan has, what Satan has done, has just opened the crack somewhere where we have him to step off of that centrality of Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Scriptures to get into some social arena or some, you know, psychological arena that will pull him off center, and the longer he or she goes, the worse it becomes. Why? Because it's off Christ, and Christ isn't sufficient. I was talking to a guy about religion one time and about Christ's position in it. And he says, well, in our religion, Christ is necessary, but not sufficient. That's what he's told me. It's necessary, but not sufficient. It's like, you just put the sign of the cross and back up. No, it's necessary and sufficient. And sufficient, and we draw closer to him. He is the one that works out the details, transforms us, gives us the capacity to work through our situation. Amen? Sufficiency of Christ. And see, it's important each one of us do that. You know, I've shared this before. I have found the common denominator in every problem I have. You want to hear it? The common denominator in every problem I have. It's me. Every problem I have, the common denominator is me. You know, and it's like, come on, Lord. You know, and then, you know, and when I try to blame other people, you know, God goes, well, that proves more shortcomings about you. I mean, you can't get out of it, you know. Can't get out of it. So when God is teaching a church, who is he teaching? Me. You know, so that's how you have to look at it, and then other things start moving out from that. So you have to be careful when anyone, but especially a believer and certainly a preacher, and say, oh, Jesus is necessary, but he's not sufficient. These are the other things that need to happen. The Spirit unites people across lines of ethnicity, social class, that would otherwise divide them. When we accept Christ, we are baptized by the Spirit and drink of the Spirit. This is the cleansing and empowering work of the Holy Spirit. And baptism is an outward symbol of this. Like, okay. So what it is that when we accept Christ and baptize in the Spirit or drink of the one Spirit, that's the cleansing and empowering that comes from within. That comes from within. See? And that's where he's bringing all of us and the transform within. Amen? I mean, I have met people and I thought, you know, Jesus wouldn't even like them. And God goes, that's not true. He says, stop it. Don't say that again. I have to repent. You see what I'm saying? Why? He points out some issue in which I'm to grow in, that he can use me for a purpose in his kingdom. See, the thing is, his kingdom. His kingdom. So, this is kind of the vision we have here. Now, so when understand this, and this really helps us to understand this, and it helps us to understand, when we're looking at God, we're looking at the mighty power of God working through an individual. Amen? Just think of it, and this is what I do sometimes, when a lot of times, it's like, okay, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe on the mighty God, and he spoke the word and just created the heavens and earth. I mean, can you imagine that? created heavens and earth. Then I trust Christ and I receive God in me, the Holy Spirit. Now, God just spoke, create heaven and earth. But He can't do nothing for me. He can't do anything for me. I'm not changing. He just speak the word. See? Well, why isn't it working? Go ahead. Tell me. Why isn't it working? What's the common denominator? Me. And so He's teaching me to get in step with what He's doing to grow so His power can flow through me. But He has to have me to focus upon Him and grow and give over all those things I'm holding on to, that my total focus is totally on Him. Amen? That's what He's saying. So this is what's happening here, and this is what this verse is telling us. You know, and so we want to have an understanding of that. So what makes us one is our common experience of the Spirit. Now, I'm going to pause here because I'm like, wait a minute, you get the common, experience of the Spirit. The Bible says, I'm going to tell you a great mystery. Christ in you. Okay, that's Christ in us, right? Okay, well, it really is the Holy Spirit in us. But it's okay, the Trinity. God in me, Holy Spirit in me, Christ. I mean, you kind of get the same thing. But if you want to be really technical about it, God is on His throne, Jesus is at the right hand, and the Holy Spirit is in me. See, that's what teachers and just drive you nuts, tell you stuff like that. So when I say, our one common experience is the Spirit in us, I mean, it's Christ in us, it's God in us. But technically, it's the Holy Spirit. So our common experience as a Christian is the Spirit. Because the Spirit is what essentially distinguishes a believer from a non-believer. The Spirit is what especially marks the beginning of our Christian life. The Spirit, above all, is what makes a person a child of God. The Spirit within us. That's it. Now, who has this Spirit in them? Church. It's in the church. It's in the church. See? And God says, now, I've arranged this. I want y'all to do some stuff here. And go, well, I'm not going to do that. It's like, you can't say that. I mean, you can't say that. But it's like, no, you can't. That's not appropriate, if you would say. That is, that therefore, it's natural to refer to our unity in the body of Christ in terms of the Spirit. Okay, so we've got the connection. We're not off base with that. The Spirit is a dynamic evidence of reality. We cannot get around the implication that the experience of the Spirit is accompanied by visible, evidential phenomena making us the body of Christ. We are not who we used to be. We function different. As God gives us direction. And He gives us all things and grows us together and teaches us in all sorts of things. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Yeah, that's it. We're the body. We are connected to Jesus. Now, of course, He's talking here in the picture. He's talking about the universal church too. But it is, it comes down to individual congregations. But it's talking about the universal church. This plainly says we are Christ's body. We are Christ's body. And I think about this, it's just like, Christ, but Jesus, if you were just here and then you could take care and then you, and He's going, I am there. I am there in you. I am there. Lock in to what I'm telling you. Pay attention to what I'm telling you. And then I'll carry out everything I need to do at the moment. So the Bible tells us we are Christ's body, meaning collectively in our common relationship to Christ through the Spirit, we are His one body. At the same time, individually, we make up its many parts. This means that individually, we are members of the church with a variety of assigned parts. Now listen to this. The emphasis lies on the many who give the one body its necessary diversity. Necessary, the one body. And it's necessary diversity. God, through Jesus Christ, is the racial, social, and economic solution for mankind. I'm going to repeat that. God, through Jesus Christ, is the racial, social, and economic solution for mankind. So what we have here, God understands the problem. God solved the problem. Always remember that the solution to the racial, social, and economic issues begins solely by the salvation through Jesus Christ, the transforming power, the Holy Spirit, according to the Scriptures. All other worldly pseudo-solutions that in any way dilute this truth are from the depths of hell that will bring devastating results racially, socially, and economically. I mean, it's just like a move, and it's going to go, and it's going to fall apart. It's not answerable. It's not answerable. What God meant to bring together in Christ to praise Him, others are trying to separate and then somehow resolve that it's destructive. And it will be destructive, and it will come out destructive. That's what will happen. So we can focus on Christ. Now, I could back that up, you know, and say, look at the marriage. Okay, you bring something in other than Christ, you move out, and that breaks down. You look at your children, look at that. You bring something in other than Christ, and that breaks down. See, and God said, no, you just put Christ first, and then other things start falling into place. Not saying it's going to be easy. Not going to be easy. I have to just, you know, make a light moment, a heavy moment. Linda loves Hallmark. Watch the, you know, all the, you know, things. It drives me nuts. I mean, it almost causes marital problems with me and her. I just cannot. Because, and this is why. At the end, and we joke about it, like whatever it is, 2 minutes before it's over, 2 minutes before the show's over in Hallmark, you try this, just what, 2 minutes, I don't care, like it's supposed to be over at, you know, 10 o'clock, at 9:58, this will happen. And the couple kisses. They do, on Hallmark, they kiss, you know. Now, this is always a pre-marriage kiss. It is a pre-marriage kiss, and everybody's happy, and, you know, flowers. And I'm thinking, oh, I know what the next 10 years are going to be like. I know, and I just can't rejoice with them. I said, they ain't going to be that happy. I mean, they're just not. And then she said, stop it, you're ruining the show. I said, but that's the truth, and you know it's the truth. So, anyway, we don't watch Hallmark together. I mean, it just drives me nuts, okay? And that's what it is. It's like 9:58, kiss. Happily ever after. I said, then, no, what, they're not even going to get through their honeymoon. I know. It's not going to happen. See? So, anyway, I have this thing. I really have an issue with Hallmark because of that. Because it's just not the truth. Now, this has really caused a little angst between Linda and I. She says she enjoys it and it's uplifting. And I thought, well, it's just a fable. Why are you? Anyway, so we don't talk about that. But do you see what I'm saying? It's the focus. Christ that carries you through past the kiss at 9:58. You need Christ to carry you through past the kiss at 9:58. You know, maybe if they give the gospel at the end of it, that would make me feel better. I mean, it's something anyway. So, anyway, I just end with that as an add-on. I just venting my frustrations. All right. So, okay, what we have here, the only answer to mankind's issues, and we can only determine those answers based on, this is the only answer for mankind's issues, and we can only determine those answers based on the revelation of the Scripture. The Scripture. My edit, not homework. Anyway, revelation of the Scriptures. Now what? God has arranged his church, what? Overall, to reveal those answers. church is the answer to the racial issues. The church is the answer to the social issues. The church is the answer to the economic issue. It's the church. And the church should reveal those answers to the people around them. Amen? And the church is based on what? Christ, transforming power of the Holy Spirit, and Scripture. Scripture. So we just understand. We understand and we do what we're here to do. And we'll just close with this. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Hallelujah. So it's so simple. Amen. So simple. Set our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Learn the lessons he's teaching us to draw us closer to him. Because your difficulties will bring you closer to him as long as you don't bail out on the issue. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that we can look at your word and see the truth. And God, I thank you for your goodness, and I thank you that you show us these things. And Lord, I know, and I hope you don't just make light of some things, but I know how difficult it is. I know how difficult it is with children and marriages, and how difficult it is with the body of Christ. God, it's not to be taken lightly, but truly, Lord Jesus, you are the answer, and truly you are the one that gives power to carry out what you say, to express your love and your power through each and every one of us and to the world around us. And so we thank you for that. And we thank you that we're not left here alone, that you're working day by day, speaking to us in a supernatural way. So we thank you for your love, and we thank you that truly are the answers are in you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen, amen. Thank you.